Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say, rejoice. Let your modesty be known to all men. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Dear sisters, dear faithful, the message of the gospel is essentially one of joy and peace, and not of fear. Our English word gospel comes from the Old English term Godspell, which means good news. The Latin word for gospel is evangelium. And the classical writers used that word to signify glad tidings or a reward given to the bearer of favorable information. And so, when the church speaks of the gospel of Jesus Christ, she is referring to the good news of salvation proclaimed by Christ during his earthly life and then transmitted to the world by his apostles. And both the Introit and the epistle of today's Mass command us to rejoice in the Lord always. And that command should serve to remind us that ours was never meant to be a somber and continually austere religion. Of course, austerity or asceticism has always had its place in the church. St. John the Baptist, for example, was an ascetic. He was an extremely penitential man who lived a very hard life, a life filled with penances, hardships, and privations. And there has always been in the church a place for those wishing to lead their entire lives along those lines. But we must realize at the same time that our blessed Lord himself was no ascetic. And that may sound surprising, but it's true. Our blessed Lord had fasted in the desert 40 days to prepare for his public ministry, but after that, he did not fast. And the Pharisees, of course, pointed that out. They condemned our Lord and his apostles for not fasting and for not observing certain Jewish traditions. Our Lord, of course, rebuked the intolerant austerity of the Pharisees. And why? Because austerity itself was never meant to be a permanent part of the true religion revealed by God. Austerity has its time and its purpose, but it was never meant by God to be permanent. And thus it is that the church commands us to fast and to abstain at certain appointed times, but not continually. More often than not, we find ourselves at liberty in these matters. And that is the will of God and of his church. And so it was that our blessed Lord went among the people and presented them with the gospel, his own instructions regarding eternal salvation. Our blessed Lord made his presentation to rich and poor alike. He made that presentation in the houses of rich men, such as Simon the Pharisee and Zacchaeus the publican, just as surely as he made it in those of the poor and the lowly. Our Lord accepted the hospitality of the rich and the powerful, just as he did that of the poor and the lowly. And he enjoyed both forms. Our Lord enjoyed the sumptuous meals at the tables of the rich, as well as the simple meals at those of the poor. Our blessed Lord was truly all things to all men for the sake of presenting to all men his message of eternal salvation, which was meant for all men. The overwhelming characteristic of today's liturgy is that of Christian joy. We see that in the Mass itself. The organ sounds, the flowers appear, the color of the vestments changes. And St. Paul helps us to understand that Christian joy properly in the words of today's epistle. He commands us to be joyful, but immediately he adds these qualifying words. Let your modesty be known to all men. What does that mean? Oftentimes the true meaning of St. Paul is hidden from us in a quick reading. The original Greek word, which has been translated modesty in the Latin Vulgate, had the meaning of yielding one's own rights, a sort of moderation. And that might be a better word for us to use. Moderation. And that is the very point that St. Paul is making in today's epistle. He means to say that we should not claim for ourselves the fullest possible measure of enjoyment, which is allowed us by the letter of God's law. In other words, we must purposely curb even our perfectly legitimate enjoyment of the things of this world. There's an old proverb in Latin, summum ius, summa injuria. In other words, the exercise of our own rights in the extreme, or in their fullest, or to their fullest possible extent, can lead to great injury. And that is what St. Paul means in today's epistle. In other words, we mustn't allow our various appetites for created things the freest possible rein allowed by God's law. To do so is very imprudent, even if it is not sinful. Because in so doing, we shall lose our control over those appetites, thus rendering ourselves vulnerable to sinful excess in those areas. Even if we avoid sin. Given the fallen state of our nature, it's so very easy for us to become enslaved to the pleasures of this world. Enslaved to alcohol. Enslaved to tobacco. Enslaved to our bellies. Enslaved to movies and to television. Enslaved to organized sports. Enslaved to news and to current events beyond what is necessary for our duties of state. Sometimes it's necessary to be immersed in those things in order for us to do our duties. But oftentimes it is not. Enslaved to the fruits of marriage. Enslaved to shopping. Too much of any one thing is bad for us. Because in taking too much, even if we avoid sin, we diminish our own control over our appetites. And that weakens us and makes us vulnerable to sinful excess. As we prepare for the beautiful feast of Christmas, we must make straight the paths of our blessed Lord. In olden times in the East, when a very important person would be coming to visit, great and extensive preparations were made. And among those preparations was the widening and the preparation of the road that would lead into the city. That road was prepared so that the important person could very much enjoy his first glimpse of the city. And so the road was widened, and the valleys in it were filled up. And the hills were knocked down and laid bare for freer passage. Preparations were made. As we prepare for Christmas, we must prepare the road to our minds and to our souls. For our blessed Lord. And one of the most important ways in which we can prepare that road is through moderation in all things. Moderation is so extremely important in the life of a Christian. That is why St. Paul was talking about it in this morning's epistle. Our Lord didn't do continual penance, but he did practice continual moderation in regard to absolutely everything in this world. And we must always remember, moderation in all things far, far outweighs even the severest of penances. We will please Almighty God far, far more if we exercise continual moderation than we would if we did the severest of penances. Because again, he never intended penance and austerity to be a permanent part of religion. And so, as we prepare to celebrate the birth of the most perfect human life that ever was, let us strive to imitate that same life through the practice of Christian moderation. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.